Blog Talk Radio.
I hear a lot of talk about old-time great fighters. I hear people say that Joe Louis, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, Jim Jeffries, and all of them would have annihilated the likes of myself, Muhammad Ali. After watching these films, watching their opponents, watching their styles, watching how they fought, watching the footwork and their speed, it may come as a shock to you, but I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
And I'm knocking out all bums. And if you get too small, I'll knock you out. The cameraman, everybody follows me. I'm so great.
That he will go in eight to prove that I am great. And if he wanna go to heaven, I'll get him in seven. He'll be in the worst of fix if I cut it to six. And if he keeps talking jive, I'll cut it to five.
I'm the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that
great. I'm a bad man.
Coming to you live from the great state of Texas, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Greg the Truth. The co-host of the show is the Black Belt, Mr. Fayaz. Well, thank you for tuning in to us to hear us tonight. I want to invite you to follow us on Twitter at MajorityMMA and like us on Facebook, The Majority Decision. Big weekend in the world of mixed martial arts. UFC 201 has came and gone. And before we get into that, though, I want to talk a little bit about just some few little random news and notes here. Is there anything in particular outside of UFC 201, Fayaz, that comes to mind for you?
Anything in particular outside of UFC 201?
Just random stuff. I mean, I got a few notes here, but
yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I don't have anything particular outside of, outside of the fight card and whatnot. Did you have something on your mind?
Yeah, there was a few things that I wanted to bring up. I wanted to apparently, so Ronda Rousey is. We don't know what she's going to do, right? Most people probably don't even really care anymore. Or we won't care until we know what she's going to do. If she's going to fight, then we'll care. If she's not going to fight, then we'll just keep on going on with our lives. But she's doing an interesting job of keeping herself in the news, or at least fans are, by continually spreading the rumor or speculating that she's pregnant.
To
put that to rest, Dana White comes out and tells everyone, no, she's not pregnant. This is not why she's missing, but she had minor knee surgery, and she's out because of the knee surgery and still expects to make a return to the cage. However, this is the same Dana White that told us that the UFC wasn't for sale. So do we take his word for it, or are we free to continue to speculate?
Well, maybe he's being lied to, Who knows? Right? Maybe she's telling him knee surgery and then she's going out saying all this other stuff. But who knows? I mean, I don't know if she's pregnant. I'm assuming that's Matt Brown's kid, Travis Brown's kid.
I was doing if that's the case.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't figure that out. And it's just, I don't know, man. if you're coming back, just come back. If you're not, don't, you know, I mean, or just come public, say, hey, I'm just going to quit and have a family and, you know, or do you just need the attention somehow, some way?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I don't know why she wouldn't just come out and say, yes, I'm going to fight again. You know, it is what it is. BJ Penn says he's going to be back in November. So a little bit of a good news there for BJ Penn fans. Vitor Belfort and Gegard Mousasi, that fight looks to be close to being done. Looks like they're going to try to get that done at UFC 204. Don't know how much Vitor has left in the tank at this point, since he's not able to fill it up with gas, no pun intended.
You mean fill it up with juice. Come on, man. Come on, right? Well, if he doesn't visit the juice bar, right, quote unquote, and, you know, Vitor Belfort, just become a coach already. He keeps fighting. I guess he just wants to prove that he still got it. Can he still fight? Is he still dangerous? Could the guy kill me? Probably, absolutely. But, you know, I think Joe Rogan said it best, man. I missed TRT Vitor. TRT Vitor was just on point, man. He was on point and just unstoppable. And, you know, I don't think his body had a chance to recover, you know, once they, you know, really, really put the, you know, pressure on him with all the rules. And, you know, I don't think his body had the trouble, you know, because when you put that much of that type of hormone in your body, and then somebody tells you, well, you just got to stop taking it, well, your body has to recoup from that. And I don't think his body has properly recovered from that.
No, not at all. And I think in many cases, those guys that are, you know, abusers of those kind of things for a long periods of time, their bodies never recover. They become dependent. That's why I think a lot of those guys have to continue the treatments of whatever it is they're taking.
Yeah, and I don't know how long you did it or how often you did it. Maybe you only did it once a year for, you know, for a fight or just to get stronger, whatever it was or whatever it may be. But if you don't regulate that properly, right, if you're going to put that stuff in your body, right, when you stop taking that stuff, there's other things you have to take so that your body, you know, starts to regulate itself again. And if you don't, and, you know, it's shown the last couple of times, I think it showed when he fought Weidman. He didn't even look like the same guy. Didn't look like the same guy at all. And it was a night and day difference. And it wasn't even that far apart from the last time you saw him. So it was, it's kind of scary, man, you know, to see what that can do to you if you don't take care of yourself afterwards.
Fedor Emelianenko versus Tito Ortiz appears to be in the works for a future Bellator card.
Nice. There we go.
They're running out of freak shows, so
yeah,
they're going to do what they can to keep that going, I guess.
Man, just you know what? Just sign Fedor up for the UFC. Let's have him fight Verdum. Everybody wants to see that fight again. Right, and let's make sure it's over here in Vegas, so that way the ref and all the judges aren't paid off by Fedor Emelianenko's, organization, whatever his company, whatever it is.
Did you get to see Nate Diaz on Conan O'Brien?
You know, I didn't. I didn't get to see that, man. I've been still trying to watch that. How was it?
It was typical Nate Diaz,
yeah,
struggling to speak and form sentences,
right?
Uninterested in answering questions.
Yeah.
Which, that's what you could expect. But the big issue was that they just out of nowhere played a video of Conor McGregor, you know, doing Conor McGregor stuff. Diaz was totally unprepared for that. You could tell he was unprepared for it. And so he kind of took a major – he took a quite a bit of offense to it, and rightfully so. I don't know. It's just, it seemed kind of messed up that they would catch him off guard like that, because clearly the guy didn't know that's what was going to happen. And kind of came off a little bit, maybe like he was a little bit embarrassed. Conor McGregor said something to the extent of, he's out there, you know, Nate Diaz out wearing his super black T-shirt. And, you know, the McGregor video was filmed way before. And, of course, Nate Diaz just happened to be wearing the same black T-shirt that he's wearing everywhere, which didn't help it.
Yeah.
But Diaz blamed the UFC. So the UFC was probably behind it. And, you know, just another example of the man trying to stick it to him.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. The man stuck it to him good when he got his performance bonus and his $1 million, didn't he? You know, yeah, that was the man sticking it to you when you got, you know, when you took a fight on 4 days notice, showed up and just got it all, yeah, and got paid for it. And now you get to do it again with a full camp. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's sticking it to you, all right. I don't know what else. I'm sure he's got a nice paycheck coming for this next fight.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Have you seen any of his interviews leading up to it? I mean, he's basically non-existent.
Yeah.
No hype.
Yeah.
No back and forth, which, you know, I guess in a way he doesn't have to because the fight sells itself. But for
right.
a guy who's complained about not getting top fights and not getting big money fights and not being showcased, well, now he's getting all those things, and now he refuses to play the game. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing, man. I will say this for Nate Diaz, man, he is no yes man, that's for sure. And I think he'll be a company man as far as being a fighter, but
yeah.
You know, if you know, you want him to get out there and, you know, say this and that and do certain things, I don't see it happening. So they're just, you know,
when you got a guy
like that, man, you just got to use what you can with him, right? Do what you can with him. Like, he's been on Fox a couple of times with some of the other guys, not the MMA analysts, but, you know, the guys who just covered, you know, regular sports and things like that. And he's do pretty well. So I guess it's just – it's what you ask him and, you know, what he's there to talk about.
I don't know. It strikes me funny because he hasn't had a problem, you know, playing it up in other fights where he was getting paid less. And, you know, he didn't have a problem, you know, instigating a little bit in his first fight. And I assume that the closer that the fight draws near, the more amped up that he'll probably be.
Yeah.
I think that's typically par for the course for him. But man, this is the biggest fight of his life. This is probably, without a question, going to be the biggest payday of his life. It would seem to me that, you know, if I'm in his camp, I'm saying, hey man, you know, I don't think it matters whether you hate the guy or you don't, or you don't care, or you're prepared or you're not prepared. You got to sell this fight, because if you
right.
don't, if you don't maximize every penny, you're leaving money on the table. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. Some of those things just baffle me about both Diaz brothers. They're great fighters. They always put on a show. They always, you know, in times where even Nate wasn't really in shape, he still came to fight. Still never gave up, except for that one time they tried to throw in the towel when he got knocked out by Josh Thompson. But that wasn't
correct.
Him. But, you know, and I'll say this again, and I said this to Tim Unglesby, our friend up in Vegas. The biggest thing that's in front of both of those guys as their self. Man, they can't get out of their own way. Those guys should both be multi-millionaires.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know that, you know, those guys live in a freaking box and they just put all their money in a bank somewhere and they don't touch it. Right? I mean, you know, I think Nick Diaz at one point had tax problems, but, you know, who's to say that broke him when he paid him? You know, it's you really don't know too much about those guys, man. They're not real public, and they don't look like they're the type of guys who run around spend money if they got it.
No, they don't come across like that either. And, you know, we know what Nate made in his last fight. I know Nick made at least $1 million in the George St. Pierre fight. So,
right.
I mean, that, you know, I'm not trying to say that they're poor or they're broke, but I'm just saying the appeal that these guys have, you know, to a large fan base, you know, it just seems to me like if they had the right people in their corner telling them how to just play the game a little bit more than what you're doing, man, I don't know. It seems to me, I don't know. And, you know, you're right. At the end of the day, we don't know. We don't know. You know, maybe they're, you know, they are multi-millionaires and we don't know it.
I'll say this, though, man. Nate Diaz going on Conan O'Brien, really, man, I mean – Let's face it. You know, we all like Conan O'Brien, you know, for a reason, because he's not like every other talk show. So, really, he's the perfect guest for Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's more to my point. I mean, you get a chance. Here you are on Conan O'Brien, a very popular late-night show. You got a huge opportunity to build your brand and to, you know, get your name out there to people that don't know who you are, and you're sitting on the couch basically just repeating the same stuff over and over.
Right.
But,
anyway. But, I don't know. Yeah, if you watch every fight and every fight promotion and every interview, it's basically you answering the same questions, especially that person answering the same questions over and over and over and over again. So, you know, I could see how that would wear on someone.
Oh, yeah, and there's no doubt that it does. Conor McGregor, Chael Sonnen, you know, and of course those guys are the exception, not the rule. I mean, you know, you could listen to those guys get asked the same questions 50 times in a row, and they'll give you at least 46 different answers. You know, I don't know, it is what it is. I mean, we still obviously agree on how rated fighters they were. I wanted to get into some of the comments that Mark Hunt made, but I'm going to just forego that because we need to talk about UFC 200. First of all, I just want to say this. I think that UFC 200, even though there was no real, and this isn't, I don't mean this as a knock to any of the fighters that are on the card. Outside of Robbie Lawler, none of those guys are draws.
Right.
But this card put UFC 200 to shame. Fight-wise.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I know. I mean, that's the truth, man. There's no doubt about that. And I agree with it. You know, it's going to be hit or miss. I think the shows that they try to make the absolute best are always going to be the ones where everybody plays it safe because they don't want to flop on the biggest show, right?
Yeah,
they don't want to flop on the biggest stage, right? 201 comes along, they put together an awesome card, right? And all these guys just go in there going, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to go fight and, you know, try to win my bonuses, right? And do and get paid and, you know, move up in the rankings. They're not thinking, oh my God, it's this big spectacle and this is the, you know, the 200th show and it's an anniversary. You know what I mean? There's none of that behind it. So, you know, I think you see better fights on a night like that.
So the main card was all I got to see. I didn't see any of the preliminary card. and I missed the first fight. I came in towards the end of the Eric Perez and Francisco Rivera fight, which, from what I saw, both guys were pretty tired, but, man, they went at it, and they brawled all the way to the end.
Yeah, good fight, top to bottom. And if a good opener to a main card. And if you're gonna open up a main card and get everybody excited, especially after, you know, coming off of a show that was kind of so-so, that's definitely the way you want to open up.
It's funny to see Eric Perez don the Lucha mask.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome, too. I'm surprised they let him come out with it.
Yeah, he's been doing it since the beginning, and it seems like that would be something that they would frown upon, but I guess he got the okay.
I think, who was it? Who used to do crazy stuff like that? It was like Jason Mayhem Miller way back in the day, right? I think at one point he wanted to do something like that, and they wouldn't let him do it. So, so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of cool to see him, you know, let them come out and, you know, kind of do their own thing.
Yeah, so, you know, if they don't want to let them do crazy over the top stuff, that's cool. But, you know, give them a little bit of liberty, give them a little bit of freedom to do something. You know, because it brings a little bit more entertainment, a little bit more intrigue from a fan's point of view.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not taking away from the fight itself, I mean, I'm all for the entertainment aspect of it.
Right. We're covering up your Reebok sponsor. Yeah.
that's like the only thing they're worried about, getting Reebok over.
Right.
And everybody, you know, perhaps on that deal anytime they get a chance to, apparently. Jake Ellenberger. Man, I tell you what, he caught Matt Brown early, finished him off with a stiff liver kick. And Matt Brown is a tough-as-nails kind of guy. That's a huge win for Jake Ellenberger.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, Matt Brown, I compare him to, like, guys like Chris Lytle. Man, and guys like, you know, guys who, when you hit them, they just get stronger. They just get tougher, right? You can't just run in and finish them because, you know, they might come back at you. And that's kind of what, you know, Jake Ellenberger, you know, knocked Matt Brown's head off at the beginning of that fight. Matt Brown, you know, did make a rally, did try to come back there. But then once he got caught with that beautiful kick to the liver, either the liver or the floating rib, he went down and he could not recover, man. And, you know, it's rare that you see, you know, Matt Brown, you know, get taken out that way.
Yeah, super, super impressive. And I thought there for a while Matt Brown was back, and it appeared like he was starting to find a kind of a groove, and Ellenberger had maybe kind of punched himself out trying to finish the fight early. And, man, that kick was brutal, though. Right on target. Right on target.
It only takes one, right? It only takes one. And that was the one. If you've never been kicked in the liver or, you know, been caught on that floating rib or anywhere around there, I believe his was a liver shot. If you've never been kicked anywhere around there, it doesn't look like much when you see a fighter get hit there and they go down. You go, what happened? That doesn't even look like it hit him very hard. It shuts the whole side of your body down. It is the most excruciating, I can't breathe, just strangest pain, delayed reaction pain in the world. And for the guys who have fought, I've watched get through it, man, props to you guys, but you get caught square, man, that's just a tough one to come back from.
I'll be interested to see where that win falls Jake Ellenberger, because Matt Brown was I want to say he's ranked number 9, and Jake Ellenberger was outside of the top 15. I wonder if that'll crack him into the top 10. I got to think it's going to put him at least into the top 12 or 11. And, you know, Jake Ellenberger is a guy that's been around for a long time, and maybe we're going to see a little bit of a late resurgence for this guy.
Man, I hope so, man. I really like Jake Ellenberger, and for a little while there, it looked like he was getting kind of stagnant, which I think led to the fact that, you know, he just wasn't going anywhere, right? But it looks like he's opening up his game a little bit more, learning a few more tricks, and that's really what you got to do to get ahead in this game, right?
Yeah, without question. The co-main event of the evening was Carolina. I'm not going to give a shot at her last name. This was the first time that I'd ever seen her fight.
Yeah.
Of course, seen Rose Tommy Yunus fight several times. She was impressive.
You knew what to expect. Yeah.
She was impressive.
Yeah, those two girls, man, they just threw down, man. And that was I kind of thought, you know, I was watching all the embeddeds and things like that, always do leading up to the fight. And it kind of helps me kind of gain some sort of perspective on, you know, what's going through the fighter's head. Or do they just feel like there's somebody getting thrown to the wolves, or actually, you know, going in there to fight. And, you know, as nice as this girl was, man, and she knew she was fighting a tough girl in Rose, I mean, she just came out and she's came out and put on a show, man. That was I'd never seen her fight before, and that was absolutely awesome.
I jokingly tweeted out after the fight that Joe Rogan should tell her what she has really won, where they would tell us that she won a title shot, where, in fact, she's really won probably a face rearrangement courtesy of Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Because I didn't see either in anything in either one of these ladies, who are both talented, that is ready to fight the champ.
Yeah. You know, man, it's funny because you watch people get better, but then, you know, the champ's also getting better. And after her last fight, you want to prove that, you know, she's become pretty well-rounded. So it's gonna be tough for you to go in there. If you're just thinking, hey, I'm just going to go in there and strike with, Jędrzejczyk, that for any girl is not going to be a good thing. Now, Rose Namajunas probably would have posed more of a problem because I think her ground game was a little bit better. But, you know, could she have gotten it to that point? You know, that was the other thing, if she would have won the fight. So if this will be an exciting fight, right? But I think Jędrzejczyk will come out the victor.
And, of course, the main event was Robbie Lawler defending the welterweight title against Tyron Woodley.
Man, how many times are we going to see a title get freaking changed this year?
Yeah, man, a lot of title changes. I thought that Tyron Woodley could win if he fought a perfect tactical fight, you know, relied a little bit on the grappling, the wrestling.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't see him knocking Robbie Lawler out. And he caught him with a nasty right hand.
And usually Robbie Lawler can come back from those, but he couldn't. He didn't recover. Tyron Woodley pounced on him and put him to sleep. I think put him out and woke him back up. So,
yeah.
I hated to see it happen to Robbie Lawler. I'm a longtime fan, but yeah, hey, good job, Tyron Woodley. You know, he finally got a shot, and you know, he stepped up and he seized that opportunity.
And you know, Robbie had a great run. You know, got a couple of title defenses under his belt. So, you know, even though he got knocked out, he's probably just one good solid win, maybe two. Getting a rematch or getting another shot at the title, whoever the champion might be down the line.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of The Majority Decision. Appreciate everybody for listening. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter at MajorityMMA. Like us on Facebook, The Majority Decision. Everybody have a great week. We're done.